You're listening to Esprit Radio.
All right, welcome to Black on Black Crime. This is our Point Counterpoint program, and this week we'll be talking about Russell Simmons versus Sean Carter, or Jay-Z, as we like to call him. And first, I need to tell you what this program is not about. And it's not about this. So, you know, take a moment, relax. We're going to talk about all sorts of things, but Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider about anyone else. So on that note, we're waiting for Vanessa to join us, but just in case he's having technical difficulties, just in case Vanessa's not here today, we are going to have columnist and author and columnist of SoulOfBusiness.com, Kai, joining us on the program today. So I just want you to sit back and relax, and you know, you can join in. Our number, calling number, is area code 909-265-9189. That's area code 909-265-9189. And just remember, you want to keep your comments relevant, and there's no vulgarity or profanity or any of that stuff on this program, or obscenity, or you'll get booted out of here and out of chat. So on that note, you know, again, we have a couple of things on slate, and I first want to thank everyone for joining in and making the program a success. You know, our high numbers are contributed just to you. So for all of you guys who are enjoying the show, thanks for joining us. Now, on this show, not only do we have the main topic or our main event, the Russell Simmons, Jay-Z. We have, you know, I don't know if you know about DJ Jazzy Jeff's son. Now, DJ Jazzy Jeff's son, Amir, he's 14 years old. He has a new single out. And we're going to play a little bit of that during one of our breaks that you can hear Amir come on and listen to this song, but I think it's kind of a new generation of hip-hop, so we're going to kind of play a little bit of it here today. And also, we have Tavis Smiley and Cornel West. Again, we missed the story, but they did another poverty tour that we should talk about. And with the poverty tour, we are going to, you know, pretty much, you know, talk about that. I have some internet comments. And we know that's a black-on-black crime, but we are really going to go in. And I was saving that for Finesse, but just in case Finesse is not around, we are going to we're going to start off the show with that. I want to bring in Kai Sims, author, poet, and columnist for SoulOfBusiness.com. How you doing, Kai?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I was just talking about some of the things that we have on the show, the Jay-Z versus Russell Simmons. We've had that before. Or we had Jay-Z in the program, Jay-Z and Beyonce and Harry Belafonte on one of our first shows. But this one's a little bit different. So that's our main event. We have, you know, who did I just say? I just forgot his name that fast. The Tavis Smiley and Cornel West versus the president. I'm about tired of them. So anyway, we're going to talk about them. But one of the things that we had not been able to talk about in the show was the Gabby Gifford stuff. You know, Gabrielle Douglas from the Olympics. I was watching a program, and they were still talking about her hair. And so it kind of drives me crazy. So since you're on today, I'm going to let you yell at people about talking about Gabrielle Douglas's hair.
I have no problem with that. I'd be more than happy to.
Okay, well, you know, we won't Matter of fact, we won't focus on it, but if our callers come in and they want to talk about that, Kai is probably going to cut you up. I am too, and probably Kathleen is going to do it as well. So we'll wait until Kathleen comes around. We won't
talk
to her. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on ACN on Esprit Radio, and I want to welcome you again. Our calling number is 909-265-9189. We'll be back with the rest of the program, but we're going to take a quick break since, you know, we like to start off with informing our listeners. We're going to start off with a 90-second news break. It's going to sound like me, but it's not me. I'm just joking, it is. But anyway, we're going to start off with a 90-second news break from EspriNet News. All right, so stick with us.
Welcome to EspriNet News, 90-second news break. Sales of previously owned U.S. homes reached their highest levels in more than 2 years in August. The price paid for such homes also rose, according to figures from the National Association of Realtors. Growth in U.S. manufacturing sector remained modest, and retail sales also rose for the second month in a row. Forensic tests made public this week shows self-appointed neighborhood watch George Zimmerman's DNA was the only identified DNA on the grip of the gun used to fatally shoot 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. The results ruled out Martin's DNA from being on the gun's grip and the holster. The U.S. Education Department has awarded $228 million in grants to historically black colleges and universities. The five-year grant will also go to schools in 19 states, plus the District of Columbia and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Schools can use the money to expand their campuses, acquire science equipment, and develop counseling programs, and also train faculty. Oprah Winfrey's OWN network has its best ratings week ever. OWN's new series, Ayanna Fix My Life, is the network's highest rated series debut ever. Season 2 of Welcome to Sweetie Pies is the highest rated episode in series history. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for EspriNet News on ACN.
All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host. I'm on with Kai today. We are talking about Russell Simmons versus Jay-Z is our main topic today. But first, before we get into that part of the show, there was a story that came out, Kai, last week about Tavis Smiley and Cornel West versus the president. Now, Professor Cornel West and former Tom Joyner morning show contributor Tavis Smiley has like this poverty tour. They call it Poverty Tour 2.0. And they said it will make stops in Ohio and Virginia, Pennsylvania and Florida, the so-called battleground states. Now, Tavis Smiley said that, he said, as the year fiercely competitive presidential race heats up, he and those who were deeply concerned about the impact of poverty are committed to keeping the heat on Obama. He doesn't even say President Obama, but we'll let that go.
Right.
And GOP challenger Mitt Romney, he says whether he wins or not, they both have something to do with this, with poverty, and we'll remind them about his remarks in his acceptance speech. I guess he's talking about the president. Now, I'm going to go straight to the internet comments before we yell at this.
Okay.
Because once I read the story, the internet comments went like this, and I won't tell you who the folks are, but one was, these two need to stop the crap, because when Bush Clinton and Bush Sr. was doing stuff, I'm not going to curse, but they used the curse word, wasn't doing jack about poverty, there was no tour. Also, 40-plus years of presidents who haven't done a thing for our folks of color. Now we get a black president, and we think we're going to have 40 acres and a mule. He said, come on, folks, do your research. Don't just be news readers. And it said, this ain't about you. It's about the future of our kids. That was one comment. Another one says, I'm ashamed of Tavis and Cornell. You cannot undo Reagan Bush in 4 years. When I was in college in 1989, they said the savings and loan scandal would have a generation, would have my generation paying until our 70s. And since we've had Enron, 18 major banks fall before Obama became president, the housing crisis happened before his watch. How was he supposed to fix all of this in 4 years? Where on earth was he supposed to get the money? Where were you in your political questions when the Republicans were killing this country financially? Obama may be good. He may be great, but he doesn't walk on water. Stop blaming him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I have one more Internet comment while I'm at it, and it says, there will always be one sitting by the door. In this case, there were two. For 8 years, Bush held office, or when our first black president, he put in quotes, Clinton, lobbied and got NAFTA, the North America Free Trade Agreement. For those who didn't know, sent most of the jobs overseas, as well as ignored Darfur when 2 million people were slaughtered as he sat quietly in the U.S. military at his disposal. I certainly don't remember either of these two saying a word. The only problem they have with the President Obama is that he didn't choose them to be anywhere near his cabinet or White House. Wes couldn't wait to get on stage with him while he was campaigning. So I just wanted to read those Internet comments because I'm tired of the story, and those two really need to calm down.
Right, right. That's interesting, though. Those are some really good feedback. My question, I guess, is what's their motivation? Why now? You know, why? What's the urgency now all of a sudden that we're coming up on an election?
Well, right, and I think it's because just like the Million Man March, and I normally make this comment about the Million Man March, but it's like when the Million Man March was going, people kept saying, you know, well, nobody's going to show and all of this negative stuff. And Tavis was one of those people who were on TV saying Nation of Islam don't have more than 5,000 people or whatever, and they can't bring no people to the table. And he was ranting about this because the news will give light to people who are dissident from other black people, and it's why we create black-on-black crime now. You get your fame and popularity for criticizing the nearest black person.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Tavis was the guy who was on TV saying that the Million Man March was going to turn out to be a bust.
Right.
Now, according to the news in Washington, D.C. at the time, the D.C. Transit sold 1.3 million tickets on the three stops of the mall that day. So they know how much money they made, so we know it was over a million people. So with that being said, once the Million Man March was successful, he went on Tom Joyner's show with a segment saying, what are we going to do now? Right, so now you didn't do jack to bring nobody to the table. No, nobody follow you, and now you want to ask the question, what you going to do now? So it's the same thing that they're doing with the president. You're asking him what he's going to do.
And why is he so determined to be a part of the problem and not a part of the solution? And you would think after he learned with the results of the Million Man March, that should have been a lesson enough to say, let me get a few more facts before I speak. But here we are again. He's back in the limelight at this perfectly timed opportunity right before an election.
Right.
Looks like motive. Smells like motive.
Right. Right. It looks like we're going to try to get some popularity off of off the president because we can't get any news during any other time. So just reading those comments, I'm sure, you know, we're not committing a black-on-black crime. By the way, let me tell you what it is, just in case you don't know. A black-on-black crime is when someone overtly focuses, criticizes, or analyzes other black people in areas they won't consider about anyone else. And so in this case, they are overtly focusing on the president when they focused on no other presidents prior.
Right.
And then, you know what, and more importantly, I think we can pretty much do a show on all of the positive things that the president has done to affect the community, but nobody wants to hear that. They just want to know what he hasn't done and didn't focus on that. No, that's a black on black crime.
Yes, and that is a crime indeed. And you know what I would be interested to know is just how many people are following, you know, and they're entitled to their opinion, whatever it is, but I'd like to, I'd be interested to know just how many people are actually following Dr. West and Tavis. You know, just how many people are tuned in and actually listening and supporting what they have to say.
Well, you know what, though, I have to say, what they're doing is good generally. Their focus
right,
is
exactly.
wrong, but what they're doing
right.
is good, right? So
mm-hmm.
we need to deal with poverty and unemployment. But
mm-hmm.
the problem is that they're trying to take the president down for problems that are caused
right.
beyond the president's control.
Right, right.
So they're saying, let's take the highest black person on the mountain and let's just pretty much take shots at him
yeah.
because we're not
yeah.
getting anything down here. But more importantly, they haven't been doing jack for poor black people anyway. So they're going to go to poor black folks. I'm sorry, that is a black-on-black crime.
But you know what? The message may be good. The methodology is bad. You know,
right.
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
not at the president's expense.
Right. Now I have an internet comment that is actually pro Tavis and
mm-hmm.
Cornell. It says, those who feel that President Obama is being held to a higher standard than President Bush are absolutely correct. President Bush didn't get 90% of our vote, so he doesn't owe us anything. Barack Obama does owe us something. He highlighted or, you know, and put in caps, does owe us something. The same way he owed and paid the debt to gay and Hispanic constituents who threatened to withdraw their support if the administration did not get in line with their agenda. It says, please take note, politicians only respond to credible threats, not political groupies. And that's an internet comment that just came in. But let me tell you this, because that's a wrong statement, so I'm going to help you with your statement. He didn't pay gay people back. That is not what he did. When you're a leader, you make decisions for everybody and not just
right.
your own particular group.
Exactly.
So
hence
the things
the
that
Mitt
he did for
Mitt Romney comments.
Exactly. But like I said in the past, the White House has an Office of Urban Affairs. It's never had an Office of Urban Affairs. So you know what that means, people who live in urban areas? The White House has an office just for you. It doesn't have a White House office of Hispanic affairs or gay affairs. So that should tell
right.
you something about not knowing what the president is doing without checking to see what the president is doing. It's
mm-hmm.
just an impression that people are complaining out loud so they get answers out loud, but that doesn't mean the president isn't doing anything for black folks.
And
just
then,
one.
You know what, too? I mean, he doesn't have an S on his chest. He is one man and the leader of a country. We have to step up and do our part, too. I mean, it's easy for us to sit back and say, well, the president owes us this, he owes us that. But we owe ourselves the opportunity to, you know, very similar to what he's saying in his message. We have to take a chance on each other. Everyone's so
right.
afraid and so guarded with what they own and what they have and what they may lose. I mean, he can't grow an economy by itself. He can only do so much as one person with one administration in a very messy situation. But we have to step out and take chances just like he does. So to compare, I mean, I'm trying to understand that old whole he paid it back to the gays and back to the Mexicans. I'm trying to put that in perspective, but that's just a small part of a much, much bigger problem. And, you know,
right.
I mean, and that's wonderful. And at least he, whether we agree with him or not, with his decisions or not, this is a smaller part of a much bigger problem. At least he's acknowledging and taking initiative that these are broken problems that need to be fixed. Some prior presidents and prior leaders just ignored the problem like it didn't
right.
exist. You know, so, I mean, he can't fly around saving the world with this big S on his chest. He needs help, and that's where we step
right.
in. You know, it just amazes me sometimes. People think he's going to, you know, descend from heaven and just wave a magic wand and the economy's going to bounce back, and, you know.
I think he's been characterized that way, and so people think that. More importantly to say, the economy is a heck of a lot better than it was when he took office. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at numbers, which I do, you take the growth of President Bush was 17% of, you know, growth in the economy. Under President Obama, it's 68%. That's how much our economy has grown since he's been in office. So when people say it's about the economy and the economy is bad, they are selling you something or they're smoking something, whatever. But either way, the economy is leaps and bounds, and just like President
Better than
Clinton
it was.
Said, right. Well, just like President Clinton said, our GDP, our gross national product, we were shrinking at a minus 9% when he took office, and now we're at a plus 2, which if you're doing math, that's a positive 11 in 3 years with no help from Congress. So, you know, I just got another internet comment, and I just want to read this. It says, I'm thinking the long game, and on that thought, we should hold the entire Democratic Party to account if we were checking the president. He said, indeed, the entire political system should be checked. If he had used executive power to benefit black people, he would be packing his bags now for sure and not waiting for elections. The last Congress would have shipped every one back to their native lands, and the Indian people would be the only ones left to believe their rhetoric. He says, we don't play games because the games was not meant to be played by everyone, so we don't play in that game. That was a good internet comment. But you know, and that's the point. We don't see it from that perspective.
Right.
We're just judgmental people. Sit back on your butt and be judgmental.
Right.
So I shouldn't say we because, you know, Kai, we are not judgmental.
We are
not.
But now, some of the people who we know.
So we know some judgmental people.
Right.
That's why we
are
doing Black on Black Crime.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to remind our listeners, you can call in, join in on a conversation. I want to say hey to everyone online. And if you're in chat, you can just give us a message, and we will add your comments on to the show. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on ACN, on Ask Kathleen Network, and on Esprit Radio. Now, you can call in. I keep forgetting to give out the number, Kat. Area code 909-265-9189. That's area code 909-265-9189. You know, I almost forgot it the second time again. Kathleen is going to kill me for this one. Now, again, you can check out Ask Kathleen on Sundays. You know, sometimes we hang out with Kathleen as she covers a bunch of different topics.
Mm-hmm.
Esprit Radio, Esprit Net News is on Thursdays at 11 p.m. Sometimes Kai jumps in with Low Key. And get to make some noise. And by the way, Kai, since you're on the show today, I must tell you, we got a lot of comments about you on last show, and they all were good. It's like people don't even know I'm here no more. No, I don't know me no more. Okay, that was for the people who watch Color Purple. So anyway, all right. So one of the things I wanted to talk about also inside of that. I don't know if you know about DJ Jazzy Jeff, who was on the Fresh Prince with, it was his record contract, so it was DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff is probably the greatest DJ that ever walked, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jeff has a son that's 14 years old that they released a single from named Amir. Have you ever heard it?
I haven't. Wow. Really?
Oh, my God. It was just probably 2 weeks ago, maybe. And we have it. And so I'm going to play a little bit of this song from Amir, Jazzy Jeff's son. And it reminds me of Willow Smith, because Willow was 14, I think, right? I think she was 13 or 14 when she released hers.
I don't know if she's a teenager yet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She was like 12.
She was young, yeah.
Yeah.
She was really young.
So, just his skills and his delivery, it is just crazy to me. So, I am going to play some of his song before we – matter of fact, we'll take a break. We'll go into – and it's a song called Think Back. So we're going to take a break, and it'll take us to the bottom of the hour. We'll take a break and play Think Back, and we'll come back. I just want to hear your comments on this song by the son of DJ Jazzy Jeff. We're going to stop calling him that because he is so good. So So let's take a listen to you're listening to Black on Black Crime on ESPN Radio and ACN. This is Think Back by Amir. I think his name is Americo, but it's Amir is the kid's name. All right, we'll be right back.
I like it.
My name is Amir. People call me a miracle, and yes, sir, I'd be fear. I'm back again, rapping and listening to it, and the lack again, laughing into the smoke on the track again. That's what's happening. Bring it back and say my sick flow, yo. I tell hip hop all day, Ooga Maga Dojo. Sunday I was in the studio, hair looking like Coolio, bro. But my rap was on point. Truth be told, think back to the times you were in a car. You were jamming to a song by Gangstar. You put your hands up, starving, waving left to right. But the next song that came on, you really didn't like. You listened to the lyric. Then came the beat. Next thing you know, you're in the car tapping your feet. Then you realize your hands were off the wheel, jamming with Tribe, Gangstar, hunting Lauryn Hill. Yo, think back.
Think back, yo, where would you be? If there was no Public Enemy or Run-DMC, where would you be? Think back, yo, where would you be? If we had no Nas, if Brooklyn had no Jay-Z, where would you be? Think back.
I know my stuff, I know my music. I swallow and digested it fast like a fluid. And I know that I got a long way to go in this game. But always know a miracle's mine, never dream. Them ignorant lanes that think my music is a shame. Bro, it's too bad that them faces stuck in a frame. See, my flow is ignorant to them ignorant dudes. So my rap is no point and it isn't yo, but it's true. I'm confused. Should I let my life diffuse? Or should I step on top of my box and be true? Should I be just like him, who is just like you? Or just chill with God, no need for a crew? On the real status, your rap is going, gone. You're farther back than the hairline of LeBron. But I'ma keep moving on up. Call me George Jefferson and we's on the elevator, we going up.
Think back, yo, where would you be? If there was no Public Enemy or Run-DMC, where would you be? Think back, yo, where would you be? If we had no Nas.
Okay, now this was Jazzy Jeff's son, Amir. Isn't that a good
song? I love it.
You know, it gives us hope for the future of hip hop.
It does. And you know, before I heard the words, I was doing, you know, the beat with that Mary J. Blige's Method Man head bob we used to do back in the day.
Oh, right.
I was already doing the head bob before I heard the words, not one curse word. And he's telling a story. I love it.
You know, in the article, there is an article about Jeff lives in, I guess it's in California. He lives in Delaware. And so his son is in California. So he had him for the summer, and he let his mother, or Jeff was talking to his mother on the phone, and when the kid goes back to California, she's listened to it, and she said she listened to it at least four times while she could not stop crying to see how good her son was. It was just such
a
surprise.
Oh, my God. I got chills.
Yeah, that he actually could, not just that he could rap, but just that his father did something so quality for him. And there's a video. They shot a video of it. Yes.
Oh, wow.
And
I mean,
said,
he's telling a story. I mean, LeBron James may not be so happy with his comments.
You know,
but he's
I was going to say,
story.
I was going to say, this is hip hop. So I thought that about LeBron, but then I thought about how far back Jazzy Jeff's hairline is. So I figured they probably joke about that. They probably know each other.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, that's a nice song. That's a really nice song.
Yeah.
Wow.
Again, I was impressed, and I was impressed with my hair. So I just want to say that even listening to Little Willow Smith, I thought the same thing as people came out and criticized her because she was so young. But Jazzy's son is 14. I'm amazed that he flows like that at 14.
I know. Okay. But you know what, too? It makes sense because their type of music, if you look at their role models, they're both of their dads. You don't see them, you know, in a negative limelight. They're clean cut, you know, aside from Bad Boys, you know, the movie. But, you know.
Well,
so,
he got older and lost his mind a little bit.
Right.
I do like
exactly.
Kids. So,
yes.
So I can't say that.
But it looks like, you know, they're following that same example, that same format, that you can put out good music without, you know, bad words. That sounds really, I really like that. Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, I'm impressed. It's Amir or a miracle is what they call him. So you can Google it or YouTube it and check out the video for it. But he shocked and surprised his mother, and it was interesting that Jeff would not let on, and he said that she just could not talk on the phone anymore, like because she was listening to it, they're trying to get a reaction out of her. So she's proud of her child.
Oh, she's a proud mom. That's all right. Oh,
isn't
wow.
that cool?
Yeah,
isn't that
that's cool?
Cool.
Yeah.
So I like to hear good stories like that. So I just thought I'd share Amir's story with everyone. But I just want to remind you before we get back to arguing and yelling about crazy people, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. Our call-in number is area code 909-265-9189. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and, you know, telling a friend to tell a friend. You can download on iTunes. You can send us emails at BOBC, Black on Black Crime, at solasyracuse.com. Hey, Kai's there. You can check out her columns. She's a columnist on Soul of Syracuse, and sometimes I write them. Not often, but I do. You know, I try to make it look like I'm not opinionated. Not what I do. That is just you, Inez, Roland, all you guys, Lucy. I let you guys vent. So, you know, I just want to remind everyone of that. You know, our main course is coming up right after this break. We're going to take another break. It is Russell Simmons versus Sean Carter or Jay-Z. This is our main event for Black on Black Crime today. You can call in and join us, or, again, you can send us an email or any of that stuff. So we're going to take another quick break, and we're going to come back with our main event. Are you ready for the main event, Kai?
I'm ready. I am ready to go.
Okay. So stay with us while we laugh a little bit and join us in a second. You're listening to Black on Black Crime.
When you can make a person smile when they taste the food that you cook, it does something to your heart. I think what people like most about the grill food is the taste. The flavor comes from that oak wood, the shrimp, the fresh fish, the steak. It locks in the flavor, it seals in the juices so that when you put the fork in it, it just goes through it like butter. It's beautiful. I'm proud to be a grill master. I love food. My name is Charles Temple. I'm a Red Lobster grill master, and I see food differently.
I want to see more serious political conversations starting to happen.
I want corporations out of the government, and I want people back in.
I want peace rather than militarization.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want economic justice.
I want to be able to speak my voice without jeopardizing my job.
I want a greater regulation of the banks and the market.
I want my kids to have jobs and health care.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
You're white. Start out with a bright future. Then, over time, they become dull and begin to lose their luster. Because washing in the Bargain brand can leave dirt from the wash on your clothes, causing your whites to get dingy. New improved Tide Plus Bleach helps to remove the dirt in one wash to bring your whites back to bright. Turning whitish to wow. Tide Plus Bleach. Style is an option. Clean is not.
We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. I'm here with Kai today. And, you know, Kai, I had to start it off with a little bit of Willow Smith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, just in case you want to sing, you want to whip your hair, too. We'll kind of let you do that.
I tried that. It gave me a real bad headache.
Okay, yeah, you know, you don't want to do that. That is just for the young kids. We will we'll kind of respect them and let them do what they do.
Yes.
And I thought it was just fitting right after, you know, Jazzy's son that we put on Will's daughter. I don't know, me in fairness, right?
Yeah.
All right. So,
and you got to, hey, you got to encourage young talent, you know?
We got to do that. Now, mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us. Now, our Black on Black Crime segment is about Russell Simmons. Now, Russell Simmons called out Jay-Z for refusing to understand the Occupy Wall Street movement. Now, the former Def Jam recording exec and the mogul explained how he took daily trips to Zuccotti Park, the home base for the Occupy Wall Street, to talk to protesters about topics including healthcare reform, the lack of access to affordable higher education, gay rights, and immigration. He described how impactful the grassroots campaign has been in using untraditional methods of organizing and protesting as a united front. The beginning of the movement were unlike anything that we've seen before in our nation, is what Russell Simmons said. A protest led by no one, but always led by leaders, organized through social media, yet no organization at the front was truly a people's campaign. So one by one, Simmons listed the ways Wall Street has destroyed the democracy and described how it has affected the political landscape. He even explained how the money passed from lobbyists to corporations has been used to influence politicians in regards to legislation. So if he says, you're rich, and this is Russell Simmons talking to Jay-Z, he said, you're rich and I'm rich, but today it's close to impossible to be you or me, or to get people out of Mercy Projects or Hollis, Queens, without changing our government to have our politicians work for the people who elect them, not for special interests and corporations that pay them. So on that note, I want to say, now, do you think that's bashing Jay-Z? Because I don't know if you remember Jay-Z's comments from before, Kai.
I don't. I don't remember them.
Okay, so I have those. So Jay-Z spoke to the New York Times a couple of weeks ago, and he said the 1% is just that. It's not true. He said, yeah, the young 1% is robbing people and deceiving people. These fixed mortgages and all of those things, then taking their money away. He said, that's criminal, that's bad. But not being an entrepreneur, this is free enterprise. This is what America is built on. And he was just saying that he's not to blame as a 1%er to all the problems that we're having. So he said he didn't understand the Occupy Wall Street movement. And at the same time, his company, Rockaware, made some Occupy the Streets T-shirts and would not give any of the proceeds to Occupy Wall Street. So they tried to capitalize on it, and he's saying he doesn't understand why everybody's complaining. Okay, hence Russell Simmons' letter about Jay-Z. Now, I'm saying, so I'll start off first by saying that is not a black-on-black crime, because Jay-Z, if he's not understanding politics, he really shouldn't talk about it, because I know he didn't mean it from – I wouldn't feel that he meant it from that perspective.
Right.
So I think his lack of kind of understanding about what he was saying about Occupy movement was – I'm rich, it doesn't mean that I hurt everybody because I'm rich. Russell Simmons ain't saying that because he supported Occupy Wall Street and he's rich.
Right. So here's what I'm thinking. You know, devil's advocate from an entrepreneurial side. I think I understand, again, Jay-Z's thinking, but I don't think he thought it through clearly.
Okay.
Because I guess what the mistake is that he made is he probably should have given something back. I mean, if that was the only issue that he didn't give some of it back to the people who were protesting, yeah, I could see how that looked a little shady.
Well, you can't profit off of something acting like you're supporting it by making T-shirts and then bashing
it. Exactly. So he's thinking from that Wall Street maybe mentality, and just for, and you know, not to say, I don't know what he gives in charities and donations and so forth. So not even to look from that perspective, but I think he was thinking more from the businessman entrepreneurial perspective. And I get that part of it. And I get Russell Simmons' passion in trying to explain to Jay-Z where he may have missed it. What I'm trying to understand is you have two very powerful entrepreneurs who, why don't we do like the Italians, have a sit down? Like, why did this have to get, you know what I mean? These are two powerful entities who could have picked up the phone and said, hey, man, let me meet with you and let's talk about how we can do this or how we can, you know, a meeting of the minds. Like, why did it have to go through the social media part of it, I guess, is what I'm questioning.
Well, okay. Now, so here's the thing. Since social media is out there now, we have to deal with it. But Jay-Z said that in the New York Times, right? And so I agree with Russell Simmons. He had to come out and refuse that because, because what happens, especially as minorities, that the first most popular minority that says something, the media runs to them, no matter how ignorant and crazy it may be.
Right.
We know this from, you know, when somebody has a crime in the community, they run to the person who has a baby on their hip, opposed to somebody who actually saw what happened.
And the rag on her head, and the teeth missing. Yes.
And Living Color did a great skit about that. But since they do that in media-wise, Russell Simmons, who – now, just to give you a little history of Russell Simmons and Jay-Z, you know, Jay-Z was president of Def Jam at some point.
Def Jam,
right? Which Jay-Z, which Russell Simmons was chairman of the board. So Puffy and Jay-Z owe a lot to Russell because he kind of mentored them. So he had Fat Farm. I'm sure he talked to, and Puffy says this, Sean Combs says, I talked to Russell. He said, I'm just doing what Russell did. So Russell is free with information.
Right.
So he said, hey, you want to start Sean John? He modeled it kind of after Fat Farm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jay-Z, Rock Aware, he can go talk to Russell. Russell said, this is how you start a clothing line. So they have a mentor relationship as well. So they're not at each other.
Good.
The fact
that's
is
what
that
I guess my concern is. And I hope that they can, you know, like I said, have a meeting of the minds, that it doesn't become animosity between the two of them. But hopefully if they can take that advice and learn from it, you know what I mean, then that's a great learning experience.
Now let's go to – I have an internet comment from Denelius King. He said, come on, Hove, get with the program. Like, that was the thing. Like,
wow,
short
that's
and sweet.
Pretty well said.
I like that, Denelius. Really short and sweet. If you, right. When you see something going on, don't go out and let the opposing media use you against what the movement is. The problem is our laws are skewed. Now, on a side note, I just want to say Beyonce – tweeted to let her fans know that they can contribute to President Barack Obama's reelection campaign, and they had a shot at winning an all-expense-paid trip to New York City to the 40/40 Club, Jay-Z's club, with the airfare on hotel covered. So he had a fundraiser with the president last week, Jay-Z and Beyonce. So he's supporting the president, but Russell was kind of letting him know, you need to understand where politics is played and not just the back rooms, sort of Mitt Romney-ish.
Yeah, now, so that, I mean, that could be, you know, I hope that becomes a positive experience for everybody, not just them, for all of us, you know.
Right. And so just not to get it mixed up, Russell Simmons actually supports the president as well. He and Questlove, the drummer from The Roots, are going head to head. Say it again.
I love Questlove, but
yeah, Yeah. And so they are competing to see who can raise the most money for the president's reelection campaign. Right now, Quest has raised 73% more funds, leaving Russell at 26%.
Really?
So Russell took to his blog on Global Grind last month to blast Republican Mitt Romney and his running mate. And he called them on the site, he said, these men will destroy our people and laugh all the way to the bank. So they have a friendly competition trying to help raise money to support the president. And Russell told all of his Twitter followers they couldn't let Quest beat him. So they have a friendly competition. So although he supports Occupy Wall Street, he supports the president, Jay-Z and Beyonce are supporting the president, but he had to let him know that you need to, you know, you need to be conscious about what you do.
Right.
People are listening and people are watching.
Yes, yes.
So it's more of a mentor thing.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's cool.
Do you feel better about that guy?
I do. I really do, because I was hoping it wasn't going to go in another direction. But, yes, I really do. So I'm glad you explained that in more detail.
Oh, you thought it was going to go into a different type of black-on-black.
Yeah, and, you know, the media has a way of twisting words, and I'm just thinking, Rodney King, may he rest in peace. Can we all get along right now?
Just, man. Okay.
All of us get along.
I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We all get along. We're just pointing out some people commit crimes against other folks. Now, you can join us, and for those on the line, if you hit one on your phone, we will bring you in. I'll notice that you have your hand raised, and I'll bring you in for your questions or comments, or you could just sit and listen to me and Kai. We are perfectly fine. You okay, Kai?
Mm-hmm. I'm fine. Having a good time.
Okay. So, you know what? As you know, Kai is a writer, a poet, a columnist, an author. But here's the thing. I checked out Kai's Facebook. Don't look her up because I don't know what she says on her Facebook. But one of my interesting Facebook posts from Kai, I want you to read that after we take our next break, because I know it is going to bring up a little bit more of a discussion.
Okay.
We know. it's a little bit. Now, no, we're not going to even qualify. This is Black on Black Crime. We say what we want to on this show. So we're going to bring that up. And we're going to now do what we're going to call. Oh, by the way, when are you going to start your segment, Kai?
You know,
I don't mean to yell at you and put you on the spot, but since we're on, just for the people.
Sometimes we've got to do that. Now is as good a time as any.
You know, okay. You know what? Because we're going to bring a segment called Go Straight To, and we're going to do that with Kai. But this time, before she gets her thoughts together, we're going to let her get her thoughts together before she starts her segment. But this is going to be, we're going to come back with a moment with Kai. See, it sounds really soothing. We should get you some really mellow music with that.
Yeah.
Because your comments are not going to be soothing.
Camomile tea.
Kick your feet up, snap your fingers a little bit.
I'm lighting my candle as we speak.
I know, you almost made me choke on my Pepsi with that. So get a little camomile tea, light a candle, feel free, because you're all going to have to woo-saw after Kai's comments. So we'll do that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Kai. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. You know, we're here every Monday, 2 o'clock. And I want to thank everyone for following and for your comments, and they really make the show. See, people send in comments when they don't want to come in and have people yell at them. It's not that we yell on the show or anything, but, you know, they take their time to give us those. So, you know, thanks for joining us. We're going to take another break, and we're going to come back with more Black on Black Crime.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Have you ever wondered how you could make a difference in someone's life? What if you could help hundreds or even thousands of children? Students in the U.S. rank 32nd in world math skills. It's time for our children to catch up. Become an owner of one of the world's fastest growing franchises, Mathnasium. Mathnasium is the leading math-only learning center in the U.S. Imagine helping hundreds, even thousands of students in your community improve in school and raise their self-esteem. Call us at 800-433-7620. 800-433-7620.
I started going cold turkey. Well, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it from myself, so I won't be tempted.
I used to do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You know, it is Monday. This is time that we do the show every Monday. ACN, S3 Radio. You can join in and call us at area code 909-265-9189. That is area code 909-265-9189. So I want to bring Kai back on. How you doing, Kai?
I'm good.
You're still good? All right. Mm-hmm. You're still here. Still here. All right. Well, I'm glad that you're still here. Now, I just want to... Now, like I said before, we're going to go into a moment with Kai because Kai, you know, I read a post on her social networking. I won't say which one it is again, but on her social networking. And I thought this was pretty interesting. So, Kai, can you share your social networking post?
Okay.
A moment
sure
with
will.
Kai.
So I was watching the news one day and just one dismal report after another of just people's cruel behavior. So it prompted me to write this, and just something I was thinking. It says, so I'm thinking about becoming a vigilante. Not just any vigilante. I'm talking the Charles Bronson from the movie Death Wish type of vigilante. Let's see. I think I will start with the predators who prey on children, the elderly, the disabled, pets, and innocent victims who trust people with their life savings just to lose it all. Then I'd move to the cowards who are too scared to fight one-on-one but will shoot or stab someone under the cover of night. Then I think I would end with the bullies. I'm going to need extra time for them. All I need is a sock full of coins and 10 minutes with the perpetrators, and I could save the taxpayers a lot of money. Yeah, let me think about that. And once I finished and hit send, I thought about it a little more.
Okay. Did you think about it enough to add something on that? Did you miss somebody?
I did. You know what? I did miss a couple of people. And by the time I finished the list, heaven only knows where I'm going to end up. But, you know, just the cruel behavior of people is just amazing to me. Where do you find the energy just to be so cruel? You know, well, that's how that got started.
Well, you know, I wanted you to share that because, you know, from your responses on there, and I don't have them in front of me to actually repeat the responses, but I thought some of the responses were great because everybody feels like that. It's like, when are we going to stop just kind of overlooking the obvious?
Right.
And say, all right, this is enough.
Yeah.
This is enough. So, and speaking of that, it just reminded me of the presidential campaign because when you watch it, it's almost like every time, and I know Republicans are probably frustrated, but every time you see the Republicans on TV, the news reporters are saying, okay, you're lying. And so it kind of looks like they're picking on them,
But they're not picking on them. They're lying.
They're lying. They're lying.
So they're getting called on it, but they just will not stop lying because they're
so
used to getting away with it. So sometimes you have to call them out.
So
I have a lot of respect for you for just calling it out, saying, you know what, sometimes you want to take, in the old school way, a bag full of nickels.
just get to swinging. And I'm not a violent person. But you know what?
That's why
there
it was so funny. That's why it was funny.
Yeah.
If you can make a nonviolent person say, you know what, it is time to get a bag full of nickels, it is gone too far.
It's going too far. I mean, I got my uniform ready. I even have how I can go about doing it. I'm just going to wait until about 10:30, 11 o'clock, start getting dressed with my ninja outfit on.
Oh, wait a minute, because we already know you have a ninja outfit, but we're not going to share that. I just want to tell you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime, and we do run disclaimers. So,
but you know what? In all fairness, for each incident, I'm going to need to talk with the perpetrator first because I need to know why. And if they don't come up with a good enough reason, the coin starts swinging.
No, you know, it's kind of like you're sitting there adding coins to the bag as they're talking.
Yes.
See that as a visual. Okay,
yes,
so,
and every time they tell a lie, that's another coin going in that box.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't use that as a visual, Kai, because you don't want to see your coins adding up. It's like you can add your pocket change to the bag, right? So
I'm telling you, it will save a crime will be way down, and taxpayers will be very happy.
See, and notice, I just want to tell you, notice that we didn't run a disclaimer on your comments, so we won't ever do that. You can just tell anybody anything you want to. We won't say these comments are expressly consent by Kai. No, we'll own it.
Okay.
Just add, I can add some coins to that. So when you need it, just let me know.
Okay.
I'll be throwing some coins.
Sure will. I might have to break open my piggy bank.
So if you want to join in and add coins to Kai's bag, and 909-265-9189, you can jump in on that. And you can always email Kai@SolarSyracuse. She doesn't know that SolarSyracuse is there. Kai@SolarSyracuse.com, or you can write Black on Black Crime, BOBC@SolarSyracuse.com if you have any comments, or you can send the comments at SolarSyracuse.com. It doesn't matter. And so I just want to let you know that you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We're every Monday, and you can check out Esprit Radio, Esprit Net News on BTR, or you can go to EspritRadio@SolarSyracuse.com and check us out on Thursdays, every Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern, with a week worth of news. We do a summary of news, and sometimes you can catch Kai and Loki. Loki is yelling at us about not doing Black on Black Crime on the time that he's available. So I just want to share that.
He's with us in spirit.
Yeah, he's with us in spirit. And I know our referee for any time we act up, Kathleen. Kathleen's not with us today either, but she is with us in spirit. And so I know she's going to yell because she doesn't like to miss the show as well.
Aww.
So just wanted to add those guys on there and just say, you know, you can check us out. And Kai, you know what? We have to do that segment. Go straight there. By Kai.
Yes, that worked for me.
just so that everybody knows, you know what? First of all, everybody knows don't mess with Kai. We'll start off there. But more importantly, we'll do it in a way so that you can understand there are some things going on in the world. And you know what? Kai has something to say. We'll just let Kai just tear loose on it, right?
That works for me.
Does that work for you?
That works for me. We'll start off nonviolent, and we'll see what happens after that.
We'll see how far we can go with not making as, you know, not as nonviolent as some people may believe. All right, so I want to thank everyone for joining in. You know, sometimes we go a little over, sometimes we go a little under, but, you know, we want to give you a little Black on Black Crime today. You know, next week, I don't know who our topic is going to be, but I'm sure we'll be yelling about something. So, for me, for Kai. Hey, Kai.
Hello.
And I want to thank you for joining in on this week's show. And, Kai, you have any last words you'd like to leave the people with, being that you had to give them a bag full of coins a minute ago?
You know what? I just wanted to say thank you for letting me let that out. I feel so much better. Let me just leave as a warning. We are watching.
That's right. And so, you know, now that sounds like a good show. We're watching. Okay. But anyway, for Stephen King kind of, in a Stephen King kind of way. So we won't promote that. But thanks again. Tune in next week to Black on Black Crime. I'm Jerome with Kai today. And just remember, you know, we appreciate your support, and tune in next week. All content of this program is protected, may not be reproduced, distributed, transmitted, or otherwise published without prior written permission. All rights are reserved. So see you again next week. All right? So, Kai, on that note,
yeah,
we're out of here.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. See you next
week. Okay.